Been reading through a book, and it's not hard to notice in the world around us. Society's attitude towards marriage has changed drastically in the last few decades. It is totally different than it was when I was a young child, and I don't feel like I'm that old. Fewer people are marrying, and what's fascinating is at the same time, homosexuals are demanding the right to marry. People that normally get married are not marrying, and people that normally don't get married are now saying we want to be married. Just to give you an idea, in the recent years, I've been told all sorts of things, like, for instance, reasons why they're not going to get married. Well, my parents are divorced, and I don't want to put my kids through that, so we're just going to live together. Another reason I was told was, it's just a piece of paper. Another person told me, well, it gives the government control over your lives. And some people just say, well, it's just a tax benefit. Like I said, I was reading a book, and it's, I'm not going to mention the title because it's not an impressive one. But the author did make a good point. He mentioned something that is a problem. We haven't really explained why people should get married and what is its purpose. The things that are normally brought up about marriage are being undermined. And so fewer and fewer people are willing to get married. For example, in this chart, this is how many people, the percentage of people who are married. In 1965, the blue lines by the having less than a high school degree, the green line is having a college degree. You know, if you look at it, you're talking about in the 80 to 95% range of people were married in 1965 and before. It has dropped, well, among those who with little education, it has dropped less than 50%. Those with college educations, it's getting close to 50%. It's still dropping. This goes up to 2010. The trend has not changed. In other words, about half the people that you meet are not married. That used to not be among adults. And we're not talking about that many years. We're talking about 50 years. A drop from over 80% to under 50%. This one talks about the rate of marriage. If you're wondering what that spike is, for those of you who don't know history, that was World War II. People got married before they went off to war. It was just also what led to the dip, because people were already married, and a lot of people got killed during World War II. But it went back up. But I want you to notice, you know, basically in the 70s, it was fairly steady. But from the 80s, which is when we had the trend of homosexuality entering the society, but since that time, it has dropped. It has plummeted from basically a roughly 11% percent of people, 11, I should say 11 out of 100, out of 1,000 rate. For every 1,000 people, 11 people were getting married per year, down to now 6.8. And it has dropped since then too. Fewer people are getting married is what this one's saying. Fewer people are married, and fewer people are getting married. What's changed? Why has culture changed so drastically in the last 50 years? See, one of the arguments, I'm going to hold on to that one. One of the arguments is that Marriage is so that you can have sex and so you can have kids. I want you to think about how that got undermined. Because that was taken as granted 50, 60 years ago. But society's changed. The problem is the social restraints on having sex outside marriage is gone. It's not there anymore. And so many people are having kids outside of marriage, that's almost taken for granted now. You haven't seen the statistics of over half the kids born in the United States are outside of marriage. Now. So if the argument is you have to wait until you get married to have sex and to have kids, it almost sounds laughable because there's nothing stopping people from doing it, and people are doing it. It's not a reason for marriage in most people's eyes. Not in our current society. They don't see it that way. We know that marriage is to be for a lifetime, and that's what it should be. The divorce is out of control. For nearly 100 years now, right now the statistics are 50% of all first marriages, 67% of all second marriages, and 74% of all third marriages end in divorce. Finding people who are married for a long time is becoming harder. It becomes unusual. Now, I mention this every once in a while to students at where I teach at, and I say, well, my wife and I have been married 30 years. You got to be kidding. 30 years? It's unheard of. And it ought not to be that way. It should have been commonplace. And so what ends up happening because of free divorces, basically, where there's no restraint, no faults, we just do it. Because of that undermining society, marriage is seen as just a contract that can be broken at any time. You didn't really want to stay married? Well, you just get a divorce. Now, marriage does give financial benefits. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But if you look at the arguments that are being made right now in courts, the reason why homosexuals are demanding marriage is so that they can receive the same benefits that married couples get. What's being ignored is those benefits have already been extended to unmarried couples. Those benefits are there whether you're married or not. The focus is on tax write-offs. You know what's unfortunate? We're talking about minor amounts of money, relatively. We're not talking about anything huge. But people are looking at it saying it's just about being able to get the tax write-off. And so marriage gets undermined because of that. Another reason people say, well, marriage is for happiness. And somehow I'm in a marriage and I'm not happy. Because happiness doesn't last. There are always bad times in anyone's life. There's good times and there's bad times. And usually a mixed. And a lot of the ways that we perceive life is based on our current mood. And so people abandon marriages because they tell themselves they deserve to be happy. Doesn't God want me to be happy? And the grass is always greener in somebody else's yard. And so again, people abandon marriages. And what's lost is why is marriage so special? See, what has happened in our society, it has been simplified, it's been trivialized, to the point where people then ask, why can it not be extended to people like homosexuals, the unmarried, or the sinners? Why can't we treat them all the same? What is the purpose? Why is marriage so different? So let's talk about what marriage is for. And maybe a little bit different way. Maybe remind ourselves. First and foremost, marriage is for companionship. That is the reason why it was created. It was created by God for companionship. In Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And as we read in our scripture reading this morning, then God created Eve from the side of a man. And then when we get down in verse 22, the Lord fashioned into a woman the rib from which he had taken from man and brought him to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Did you see that? For this reason. Why? It is not good for man. Excuse me. Someone down the wrong way. It is not good for a man to be alone. We need companionship. We're designed that way. We are a social creature. You have families. You have friends. But somewhere in our youth, many of us realize that you want something that's more intimate and longer lasting to be a part of your life. In Malachi chapter 2, in verse 14, it is talking about how the Israelites were mistreating their wives, but I want you to notice something. In Malachi chapter 2, in verse 14, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Oftentimes, usually, it's somewhere in our youth, we decide we need a companion. Someone who's special to us. In Proverbs chapter 2, again, a complaint about how marriages were being mistreated. In Proverbs chapter 2, and in verse 17, it says, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Marriage is about companionship. Marriage is about having somebody who's special to you, who's always by your side. Marriage is about sharing life, encouraging another person, and receiving encouragement from that person. And so having somebody with you who understands you. See, such a level of intimacy takes time to develop. We talked about that as we went through the Song of Solomon not long ago, but in Song of Solomon chapter 2, Song of Solomon chapter 2, and in verse 7, it says, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and by the hinds of the field, that you do not arouse or waken my love until she pleases. Love takes time to develop. You can't hurry it. You can't force it. When you try to, you lose it. And yet that's what marriage is about. Having a companion. Having love develop over time. Someone who's always there that you can count on and rely on. And the marvel of marriage is that two genders come together, male and female, and blend their lives together into one new whole. Because men don't think the same way women do. And women don't think the same way men do. And that's a good thing. That's why marriage exists. Because the two together reason better than each one individually. You have something greater than the parts when a husband and wife get together. And it's because they don't think alike. And they don't act alike. And yet they work together. Because marriage is about companionship. But in the idea there, the marriage is also about stability. It doesn't work if it's not permanent. What creates a marriage is a covenant. In those passages that we read, she is your wife by covenant. Now that's somewhat similar to a contract. But a covenant is different from your business contract. Covenant is a permanent relationship. It is a vow that's being made before God that says this is going to last our lifetimes. Some covenants are made to last beyond people's lifetimes. If you go to Matthew chapter 19, when Jesus is challenged about the idea of divorce, Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 4, he answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then there are no longer two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." It is intended to be a permanent joining. One that's done by God. It's necessary for the idea that it creates a stability in the relationship that becomes the foundation of everything. You see, some people look at it and say, well, marriage is done by governments. No, it's not. Never has been. Governments might poke their nose into it. But marriage is about God. Governments come and go. Man constantly changes his mind and his laws. Governments do not provide the stability that God seeks in marriage. God, however, is unchanging. And it's He who is behind marriage. And it's He who gives it its permanence. And that then becomes the reason why sex is restricted to marriage. You need a permanent foundation upon which to build a relationship. Then comes the sex. Because sex forms a bond between two people, but it's not a strong bond. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and in verse 16. "Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh." We can make bonds with people. They're just one night stands. And break them. And go through all the heartaches and hardships with it. But binding an unstable relationship only leads to heartaches and or callous characters. It doesn't improve mankind. In marriage, though, it pulls two people further together. It builds upon an already stable relationship, binding them that much closer. There's another reason why it's restricted to marriage too, is because children are a natural result of sex. That's what God said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 28. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over everything that moves on the earth." Be fruitful and multiply. That's a part of our coming together to create children. But children raised in a stable marriage always do better than any other relationship. Here's another chart that I found. This is a chart of different types of abuse. I'm sorry it's small in the back, but it says physical abuse, sexual abuse, and emotional abuse. Marriage, where you have two, married people, the people who created the children, conceived the children, they are married. The amount of abuse per 100 or per 1,000 children, the rate is very, very low. When you have any other situation, married to some other parent, cohabitating with a biological parent, parents with a cohabitating partner, which is the ones that are spiked way up high, single parents, living with neither parents, in every other case is significantly higher. Where's the safest place for children? Living with mom and dad who are married and have been married. They need that stable relationship. There's only one situation that gives the best outcome. By the way, it also, I can pull up charts for education levels. I can pull up charts for all sorts of other ways you want to measure how well children do. It always comes out that children who are living with their married parents always succeed better. It's not debatable. Is measured. And there's tons of statistics to be found. You remember that excuse, my parents divorced, so I don't want that for my children? Think about what that really says. It's a recognition that a child wants stability in his or her life. But instead of seeking a better, stable relationship, people are seeking out alternatives that are known to be less stable. As if that's better. They miss the point. They know they wanted stability. And so they're avoiding it. A side effect of that stability is health. It's even mentioned in the scriptures. In Proverbs chapter 5, in verse 15. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Why should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yours alone, and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? That's the question. Why? Why introduce instability in your life? Actually, the hint is in the verses earlier. Where do you go get a drink of water? Where's the safest, especially back in the old days? The safest spot was the water you drank all your life. You got it out of your own well or out of your own cistern. He says, why would you go get a glass of water out of the gutter, out of the sewer? It ought to be, say, ooh, that's disgusting. And he's making a parallel, saying the same thing about sex relationships. Where's the safest place? Having a stable partner. It's yours alone. Why would you want to have sex with somebody else who has sex with a whole bunch of other people? It ought to be disgusting. Because it spreads germs, diseases, ruins lives. And you know what? Married people are happier and healthier. Here again, this is the marriage chart. You notice all the lines are higher than everybody else. Not a huge amount, but they're higher. Married people tend to be healthier than non-married. Living with a partner, never married, divorced, widowed. Being married is a healthier relationship. But marriage also gives meaning and purpose to life. You know, it is not coincidental that the highest suicide rates are among the unmarried. Again, take a look at this chart. We have those who are single, those who are married, those who are widowed and divorced. Married is always less likely to commit suicide. Why? Because there is a purpose to life. There's a reason for living. It's obvious. Marriage is about caring for it and respecting someone else. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, so that he might sanctify her, and having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Because we are members of his body, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking in reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her own husband. It comes back to the same point. Why get married? Marriage is about providing for people. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, and I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to read all these passages. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, you as a family provide for your family. Anyone who doesn't is worse than a heathen, according to Paul in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Being married is for caring for other people. Take a look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. So they may encourage young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subjected to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. It's focusing on other people, your husband, your children. Husbands are focused on their wives and their children. It's about understanding. 1 Peter chapter 7, or 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, dwell with your wife in an understanding way. And it shows up not just between couples, but also in the way they raise their children. Think about how many times in Proverbs, like in Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, my son, listen to the instruction of your father. Listen to what your mother says. See, marriage causes people to move out of selfishness and into selflessness. It's a joint effort. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, or chapter 4, verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either one of them falls, The other will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. It is a joint effort. That's why couples do better economically. Married men earn more than cohabitating men. Again, this is a fact. They earn about $8,000 a year more. Married men with families earn even more per year. Why? They have responsibilities and they rise to the occasion. Married people are more likely to own their own homes or have their own investments. Married people are less likely to default on a loan. Why? Because they have obligations, they have family, they have concerns outside of themselves. And marriage, of course, is divinely sanctioned. We already saw Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 through 6. It is established by God. See, this is why living together, fornication or same-sex unions, homosexuality, can never be the same as marriage. God is not behind sin. He doesn't support sin. It will never work the way marriage does. Those that are founded on sinful behavior cannot have God's approval. And marriage, like we said before, has never been defined by government. Marriages existed long before governments were even around. And governments cannot alter it. They can pretend, but it won't change. See, married people are happier for all these reasons. Having a companionship, having stability, having someone to care for that brings them out of themselves, the fact that they're doing what God wants. It's not because they're chasing after personal happiness, but because life is happier as a result of being married. Married couples sometimes become something different, something better than the two individuals who happen to live in the same place or share the same bed. They become one. They become a new unit, a unit that's greater than its parts. Because they're married. And it cannot be artificially created. It cannot be duplicated. The men have tried so often. And society, what's sad, benefits from marriage. And it's unfortunate that they're the very ones who are undermining the very thing that benefits society the most. Because marriage stabilizes society. It reduces crime. It improves the condition of people. And all of this is documented. These are all known facts about marriage. And yet marriage continues to be undermined and trivialized. But marriage is honorable. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And in verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Marriage is honorable. Christians need to have a vocal voice about why marriage makes sense. They need to set the example of what marriage ought to be. See, one of the things I treasure is I remember my youth. I remember Larry and Sharon when we were young. They set the example. They were the goal we were aspiring to. Still aspiring to. We, as Christians, are the light of the world. Take a look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. When you know the benefits of marriage, all the arguments saying that it should be extended to other people or that doesn't is not necessary, they all fall apart. Can two people just living in the same household achieve stability like marriage? No. Never can. Not when you're living in a condition where one person can walk out at any point in time and have no repercussions. They can't do it. When you know the benefits of marriage, the efforts to redefine it is just laughable. There's no way two men or two women who think alike can achieve something greater than themselves. And God designed it between a man and a woman who think differently but come together as one. That's why it provides the stability in our society. That's why it provides the benefits to raise children. That's why we need to stand up for it and talk about it and show it in our lives. I hope you think about those things. You have an opportunity this day that if there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are our children of God, I would like the prayers of the brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.